Hey, welcome to the Two Bobs. I'm Rob.
And I'm Robert. You're listening to episode 110 for Monday, September 9th, 2019.
This week on the top... Try that again. This week on the Two Bobs, we're going to talk about, as always, the beer we're drinking. A new study links fake smiling at work to drinking heavily after work.
And this week's crazy news, we're going to talk about Popeye's chicken, a T-Rex, a hungry burglar, a Subway sandwich, a surprise pilot, and lottery revenge.
Suddenly a little frog in my throat there. So,
you know. That's all right.
Hopefully, you can edit it out, or just keep it in there. You'll probably just keep it in there, my hacking while you're doing your part of the intro, but that's all right.
I leave all those things in there just to keep you on your toes.
No.
And make me look good, really. Let's get to it.
Yeah, you know, just so everybody's aware, I mean, you basically edit all your shit out and just leave mine in there. On to the beer. Stressing me out. I need some beer.
I haven't even turned on my machine yet. Let me get that done.
Oh, man. You'll be happy to know that I found an extra micro USB cable to plug into my phone charger here. So my webcam doesn't go out now when I charge my phone. So great news.
Oh, well, that's good. Yeah. Now I do have my little drop.
Hey, bartender, another beer!
You know, getting used to this new soundboard has been difficult. Just because.
Yeah, I noticed that you had a phone number.
You see? Just want to test all the drops. Oh, my goodness. Run through them all here.
there's evidently a button that plays the entire slide. So I've got four on that one. So luckily it would have stopped.
Oh, good. Good. So, all right.
What's going on? What do you got?
Well, this week I'm going all the way across the ocean to the European region.
Right.
Northern Europe to the great country of Scotland.
Oh.
Has nothing to do with our wife's obsession with Outlander, but it did look pretty cool when I and one of the before I really read the bottle to get an idea of where of what the beer was, so I went to Red Wagon shop in Rochester Hills. It's on my way home from work. So and it had been there. They have a good selection. It had been quite a while since I'd been there. Because Mr. Pizza Bootleg's right across the street from my office. So This is nice, though, because they had a good selection, but they've kind of outdone themselves. So their selection is not quite up to Napa, not even close to Napa Valley, but pretty good, darn good selection of beer. So I saw this, and it was cool because, A, there's foil covering the neck of the bottle, which is always, you know, so it's fancy. A little bit pretentious. It has like a card, kind of like a tag, like a gift tag.
It's like a wine.
On a string.
The Wine Spectator rating?
Yeah. I mean, well, that's actually not on there, but the Rate Beer rated it quite well, by the way.
Oh,
but,
good.
And so it was intrigued, and then I started reading the bottle, and this is from a brewery we haven't had before from Scotland, Harvey's Town Brewery. And it is the Ola... D-U-B-H. Oh, Ola Dub.
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 That's what they call the guy on Outlander, McDoob.
Oh.
McDoob.
Ola Dub.
Yeah, or do.
It's an ale matured in whiskey casks. And what's cool is they have a couple different versions of this. So this is the Special 18 Reserve, which is aged in selected oak casks formerly used to mature Highland Park's smoky, sweet, perfectly balanced 18-year-old single malt Scotch whiskey. And they have I believe a 16 or a 14, and then they have a 12. I went with the 18 because that seems like it would be better, and it was a couple bucks more than the other one. So I figure, well, shit, there's a reason they charge more, and I don't know enough about whiskey casks to know if I'm assuming longer is better. But anyway, what's pretty cool, though, so this was brewed. It has a bottle number. This is bottle number 20,723. It was brewed in September 2014. So this is about 5 years old. And it has signatures from the head brewer, the master of wood. It's good to have a master. Aren't you a master of wood?
Could be either one of us. Yeah.
And it's 8% alcohol by volume. But the little card, their website doesn't really say much, but I have this clever little card here.
And it's all in Scottish. Oh, yeah. So
there's a special 12, a special 16, and a special 18. And it seems to me that there's not a whole lot of difference other than the age, the age of the whiskey casks that
the number on the card.
Yeah. Well, it says Ola Dube. Ola right. Dub. This is, oh, no. Ola Dube, or Black Oil, is so named because it is gloopy and viscous. Oh, wow. This limited release has been matured in casks from Orkney's award-winning Highland Park Distillery to add complimentary whiskey notes to what is already an amazing brew. It is chocolatey with a roasty, bittersweet aftertaste. For more information, visit harveystown.com, which is harveystoun.com. And so that's what it says on the little... There's other things on there, but I don't feel like talking about them. Now, I haven't had any of this. I haven't opened it yet because I really just kind of wanted to, you know, really experience this, like I said. So I'm going to open it now. I'm going to pour it.
Yeah, I hope it's good after all that.
I feel like I've really sold this beer. So if it sucks, I'm going to be kind of disappointed if it sucks because, you know, I spent the last 20 minutes talking about how cool the fucking bottle was. So, yeah. I mean, the actual beer better
be good. Through.
All right. So we're going to pour it here. I'll pour it so you can watch it being poured.
Yeah.
And it does have like a dark brown pour. Very dark pour. Not really any light getting through this thing.
Little bubbles on the top.
Little bubbles, not much. Seems to be a medium body. Smells good.
Oh, like you got new glass.
Smells like, yeah. Well, I had this last week, remember? Because we talked about how it doesn't say untapped on it.
Oh, I didn't realize you had them already. I thought you had ordered them.
No, you get that shit next day buddy. Yeah, you know, you order on Friday, shit gets there on Saturday. There's no delay now. Amazon, they have underpaid drones. Workers in all these buildings all across the country so we can get our shit the next day. So anyway.
And the drivers and the ones on the road that actually bring it to your house.
I do get some hints of coffee, a booziness to it, which is to be expected. And I'm gonna try it now.
8% though, not gonna be too boozy, but that's still pretty high.
Well, I guess it's not. You know, you definitely get a nice whiff of the whiskey barrel in there. So I mean, that's definitely present. And I'm gonna tell you, it's a pretty damn good beer. I taste a little bit of the chocolatiness. I do get that kind of boozy aftertaste that you would expect from a beer that's been aged in really old whiskey casks. From a distillery, and it's really good, nice and smooth. I think that's reflective, and compared to some of the Imperials and stuff that get up there in the ABV, this is a little bit more tame, I guess I would say, at 8%. It's nice and smooth. You get a nice roasty flavor, and it's a really good beer. I'm not gonna lie, it was like $13 for this one, which is 11.2 fluid ounces. So
that's not too bad.
No, it isn't. It's the most expensive beer I bought today, but at the same time, I didn't get anything crazy. So again, it's Harveystown Ola Dube, according to Robert. Ale matured in whiskey cask from Highland Park, Scotland. So good beer. I'm gonna give her like a 4.25.
Oh, so that's still pretty good.
I think, again,
very good.
I've felt really good about the beers I got. There's another beer that I got in a 4-pack that I will eventually have on the show. And I drank one of them, and that I think I gave like a 3.25 to a 3.5. So I can't, I truly am not winning all of them, but this was a really good one. And definitely the presentation of the bottle and everything really follows, really, everything follows, it follows through on what I was expecting. So, good beer.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes getting a nice surprise when you buy those expensive bottles and you're not 100% sure you should do it because it's a lot like wine where you look, the label looks cool, and you kind of do that with the beer.
Yeah.
And try to see if there's some note on there about what it might taste like. But A lot of times you don't know. I've picked them up when I look at the bottle and I say, okay, well, it's got all the flavors that I like. And I drink it, and it is kind of that 3.25, 3.5, and it's not really that good. And you're let down after paying $15 or $16 for a bottle. So it's nice when you get a nice win like that.
Yeah, I again, if you're able to find this, I don't know how widely it's distributed in the U.S., but yeah. If you happen to come across it, it's a nice beer.
Well, the nice thing about Untappd is it'll let you know if somebody's had one of those near you and actually checked in. So. I'll check it out and see.
And
this week.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. And if you go to their website, the good news is that I thought it was kind of funny. I went to the website. You know, we've been bitching about, or I have been bitching about how difficult it is to get into some of these websites, having to fill out information. This one just like,
they don't care.
It literally just asks you, are you 21 in the country in which you're viewing this website? And you just say yes or no. So I like that. Or no, I'm sorry. It didn't say 21. It says, are you of legal age to consume alcohol in whatever country you're visiting this website from?
Well, that's good. You didn't have to swipe a card or anything.
No. I didn't have to give my blood type or anything. Fill out forms. So it's good.
Good. Well, this week I've got something from a brewery that Melissa and I have been enjoying. We've been enjoying this beer. Haven't had a whole lot of any of their other selections, but we got one of these out of trying to think if we got out of a build your own, but I think we looked at it and then realized it's probably good based on, like I said, on the bottle. So we grabbed a 4-pack of it and we went through those pretty quickly. And actually Melissa drank those. I think I got a sip of it and then she polished it off. So I actually went back and got some more and I decided I'd make sure to have at least one for the episode because she's already confiscated the other three. But this is a Virginia beer and it's from a brewery called Ardent Craft Ales. It's Ardent. They're based out of the capital city of Richmond, Virginia. And this is their Imperial Milk Stout. And it's got kind of a wild looking bottle. And it's this textured paper on there and it's brown. So it's not really fancy like some of the ones that you might pick up. But it gives you a little bit of information about the beer. It's got their logo. See? And then it's 11.8% alcohol by volume. Which is probably where that burp came from, out of this 12 fluid ounces and 32 IBUs. And again, it's the Ardent Craft Ales Imperial Milk Stout. I'll tell you a little bit about it, then I'll dive on in. It says, our Imperial Milk Stout is bold and rich, featuring notes of chocolate and residual sweetness from the addition of the lactose, balanced by a roasty base. This big, dark stout is silky smooth with none of the boozy burn you might expect from a 10% stout, perfect for cooler weather and longer nights. And I'll hold it up here to the camera. You see, it's a lot like yours. It's pitch black. And even holding it in front of the lights, there's not, I can't see anything through it. So like you've mentioned motor oil in the past, and that's kind of what this is. Not quite as thick, but it's definitely, there's no light getting through. So I'm going to give it a smell. And I smell the lactose in there pretty much right away. Smell a little bit of the alcohol and some of the sweetness is in there. So let me see. Exactly. It is a bit boozy, not overly so. And you do get the lactose there pretty much right away. And I do taste the chocolate in there. I don't really get a whole lot of anything else, which is fine. So there's no like overwhelming coffee or anything like that. So the milk and the chocolate are definitely prevalent. Nice. I almost might say it's kind of a desserty beer. It's got a bit of that sweetness to it. So it's something that you could have after dinner. But we've been polishing it off and based on the website, it seems like they're not going to be bottling it much anymore. So I have a feeling we'll be back to the store this weekend and grab the rest of them. But they're, again, it's a 4-pack. It was like 16 or 17 bucks. So not quite as expensive as yours, but it only had to drive a couple miles up the road versus cross an ocean. So I'll take it. Sure. We'll go back some more and maybe, you know, we're only an hour or so away from this brewery. So it might be fun to pop in there one time and maybe they'll have some more or have a variation of it. But I like it a lot. I rated it a 4.5 on Untappd. And Melissa might put it up closer to the 5. She was kind of devastated that I took this one bottle, but I think she'll survive.
Well, you know, hopefully, like you said, the problem is that they stopped brewing it. But, I mean, for the time being, maybe pick a couple more up, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, I sent you that earlier this week. I think it was, but this week has been jacking up with my memory. But the CBS, one of our favorites, which is probably the most expensive beer I've ever bought at $30 for a bottle. And it's a larger bottle. So it's, I don't remember the exact size of it, but the 750 milliliters. So it's probably 24 to 30 ounces or so. Yeah, that big behemoth. What does it say?
Let's see what it says here. I just so happen to have one still that's unopened. Let's see here. Fuck, it doesn't say. I don't know. It's a big ass bottle.
It's a big one. Yeah.
Oh, wait, here we go.
So, yeah, there.
Nope, nothing. Got nothing for you.
Oh.
Oh, 750. Yeah, 750.
750. Alexa, how many ounces is 750 milliliters? I feel like we've done this before.
750 milliliters is about 25.4 fluid ounces.
That was close. I said 24. So, anyhow, that was $30 for that bottle. So, essentially, two of your regular size bottle of beer in one. So, $30. That's the most expensive. And I loved it. So I bought two of those one time. It's $60 for the two. And evidently, according to our friends over there, Founders, they're not going to be brewing. This is the last year to get it. So
I know.
And if I see it, I'm gonna stock up.
Yeah, and Mr. Pizza Bootleg, I noticed, had a couple bottles the other day. So I might have to go in there and just snag another bottle of it.
Yeah, they're going to be gone. Although, it's worth it, though.
Although, we'll say this. You know, Founders has done a phenomenal job. I say if you look at, if you were to have to generalize a line, an entire series of beer. So if you have to say, you know, what series of beer is just phenomenal. Yep. You know, Founders Barrel Age series is just a great, great lineup of beer. So, you know, I'll miss the CBS, of course. It's a great beer. But at the same time, you know, if it creates an opportunity to get some new beer in their Barrel Aid series out there and stuff like that, then you know, I'm okay with that too, because I mean, I have not had a beer out of their Barrel Aid series that I didn't love. I mean, it's all really good beer, and you know, even Underground Mountain Brown, which sounds like a deuce, but I mean, it's a phenomenal beer. So,
yeah. Well, I had some of those too, and Melissa tried it, and she, you know, we've been having fun in the little group here deciding about whether the Michigan beers are better and Virginia beers are better. So she's very Virginia proud. So when you kept saying that the Michigan beers were better, and then she was gone for the weekend and came back, and I had some of those, and she took a sip, and she goes, she was mad. She's like, oh damn, that is good.
See, I told you.
So she said, you know, everything from Founders. I said, well, they do have IPA. She's like, well, maybe not everything then. So
their IPAs are even pretty good.
Yeah. That's the thing about the All Day. I think they have it's pretty IPA drinkable. She still would probably not really like it. I think she tends to like a lot of the darker things. So the IPAs, but anyhow, so I'll be disappointed CBS is gone, but hey, if it gives them a chance to, like you said, make some other things that we can enjoy, then it's probably not anything that we've really lost.
I'm okay with it. Every time I go in, one of the first things I do is go to like the Founders section of the store and see what's new stuff Founders has. So, you know, they should be, there should be some more stuff coming out this year. So,
yeah. All right. Random shit.
It's time for random shit. We don't have a drop for that.
Random shit.
Maybe just like somebody just taking a shit into a toilet. Somebody just blowing their ass out into a toilet, I feel like, is what our random shit section should be.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah. Stay tuned for TTB 111. Yeah. Random shit. Oh, yeah. Boy.
Well, this one, I saw it. I don't remember. It says April. So maybe I don't know if I've had it for a while or I just came across it. But I saw the title of the article and it really struck me. But it says a new study, which was new in April, which I guess really isn't that far back anymore. Not like last week where we were probably 3 or 4 years old.
Yeah, 2016 stories we were pushing off as fucking fake news.
Yeah.
Not fake news. It was real news.
That was
crazy
news. Right.
Crazy
news. Right. It was extra crazy. Said a new study suggests fake smiling at work increases drinking habits. And I think, you know, just the way work goes sometimes, there's a lot of fake smiles and then we get to come here and sit down and have this release. And I don't know that everybody really gets to do that.
Probably not. So it's interesting because I'm one that, you know, I it's hard for me to act. I'm not a very good actor. So, yes.
I've explained that.
Yeah. So
I make him mad? No.
Yeah. Well, so, it's hard for me to just like plaster on a smile.
Yeah.
So for me, but then again, I don't drink heavily after work, really. I mean, I have every once in a while I have a beer or two, and I mean, every once in a while I'll party, but other than that, what about people who fake smile, though, makes them want to drink after or drink heavily after work? Is it that they're just people who felt that they had to like exaggerate positive emotions, or is it somebody who?
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. The study is more so that you've had to kind of suppress your negative emotions. So you have to find some way to release that. And I guess in a situation, so you're kind of in a public service thing where you've got to deal with public, and maybe, if you love your job enough, you probably don't have to do that. And like you said, you're not, and you've explained that to me before, because you have a very specific, like, dry sense of humor sometimes, and it sometimes comes across differently in a text message. So I've been like, "Are you mad?" You're like, "No, you would know if I was mad." I'd so say. I kind of take everything now, and I explained that to Melissa the other day. I don't remember what it was, but she's like, "Oh, he's mad," and it's like, "No, he's not." So it was kind of funny, but
mad.
Yeah. So that's how I am. They're like, but it was funny because the article was explaining that people that are sitting there and trying to stuff it down, they really need to release that at the end of the day. And I think, luckily for me, I mean, every now and then, and you kind of have to force yourself through something. Maybe if you're having a bad day, or I was talking to somebody just recently about, sometimes you get up and you're like, "I don't really want to do this today." Then you sit down and you get in your chair and you're ready to go, and that kind of goes away. But I think kind of having to force yourself through things that makes you want to release that, and having to force yourself into an emotion that your body doesn't want, and having an alcoholic beverage, at least the start of one, and this is heavy drinking after work, kind of allows that. It's almost like shaking up a bottle and then releasing the tension of it and hearing the hiss of the soda and then just kind of letting it go. And I think that's what the alcohol does.
I guess it does. It, like you said, it's an outlet. It's an outlet to be able to kind of release those negative emotions. By the way, I've never in my entire time heard my job in private wealth management to be called public service. But, I appreciate
it. Well, it's not public service, but you deal with, I guess it's more so that you deal with the public. It's not like somebody who sits.
I deal with certain members of the public, luckily.
yeah, but you still have to put that face on there, and maybe having worked many years ago, but having worked in retail, you have to put a face on that's not, if you want money, you have to put a face on that's not pissy, that's not agitated.
I guess
you're happy to help them regardless of what's going on. Maybe you're sitting there and one of your kids is sick at home and your wife is having a bad day, but you have to. Because you're dealing with the public, or you're really even just dealing with your coworkers or your boss, you have to kind of tweak yourself to avoid that. And I think both of us are professional enough. We don't really have to deal with that a whole lot. But I did have to chuckle that. Basically it says faking and suppressing emotions with customers was related to drinking beyond the stress of the job or feeling negatively. It wasn't just feeling bad that made them reach for a drink. Instead, the more they have to control negative emotions, the less they are able to control their alcohol intake after work. So, I'd be open. I think between the two of us, we're probably not really in this. But if anybody out there is listening and they want to let us know about their alcohol intake after work, if you're feeling stressed out, we'd love to hear it.
It's interesting nonetheless.
Yeah.
How normal people's brains work.
The other 99% besides the two of us, right? All right. Well, you ready for crazy news?
I think we probably should switch to crazy news. I do have people I work with or have worked with that listen to this podcast. Thank God I don't think any of my clients do. Maybe they do.
Well, you know what? Again, I'm sure you've earned their trust as long as their portfolio or whatever it is doing well. You've earned their trust, and just even if it's not something you can control. But as long as they feel you're doing what's in their best interest, it's all good.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. It makes me feel comforted. So under our first crazy news story. So we talked last week about the phenomenon that is Popeye's chicken sandwiches.
And I would love it.
And how they, well, have you had one or no?
I was just thinking about it, that I have not had one and I still desperately want one. And I had a chance, but it was probably 11:30 and I could smell the Popeye's, but I couldn't find it. And then I realized it was in an area that I was like, man, it's going to be a pain in the ass to get over there. So I skipped it, but I need to really make an effort soon.
Yeah, so I haven't had any either, and I don't know if the situation with their lack of availability has gotten any better or not. But nonetheless, apparently, as of Tuesday of this week, which by the time you're listening to this is last week, right. People are starting to threaten to kill each other over them. Like, people are still losing their shit over these fucking sandwiches. I don't get it.
It's chicken, Rob. I get it.
It's delicious chicken. Sure. You know? Yeah. But at the same time, there's other places you can get a really good chicken sandwich, and people just don't seem to understand that. They hear Popeye's chicken sandwich, and they lose their fucking mind. Like, these people here from Houston, and this is from ABC 13,
So it's real.
Yeah, reported that angry customers pull a gun.
Oh, sorry, George.
They pull a gun, Robert, over sold-out Popeye's chicken sandwiches in Southeast Houston. True. An armed group of people rushed the door of a Popeye's chicken restaurant in Southeast Houston Monday night demanding chicken fucking sandwiches.
Yeah.
Houston police were called to the restaurant on Scott Street and Quarter just after 9 p.m. So if you happen to be in that area, Robert, don't stop and try to get a chicken sandwich.
Yeah. At 9 o'clock, they're going to be out. If they were out at lunch.
Yeah. I feel like you got to get there like right
now. Don't go at closing time and ask for
chicken. No, that's stupid. If you were one of my clients trying to do that, I'd tell you you're stupid.
You're crazy.
Employees told ABC 13 a mob of two women, three men, and a baby were told at the drive-thru that the chicken sandwiches were sold out, but that apparently triggered the would-be customers. It freaked them out. They didn't know what to do.
Triggered, Rob. Triggered.
That's when police say they had to tried to get inside the restaurant. One man had a gun.
Uh-oh.
Pew-pew. But a restaurant, I don't know if it was a laser gun, probably a regular gun, but a restaurant worker
failing pile of garbage
was able to lock them out. All the while, the group left the baby inside their vehicle. They pull up. There's a baby in the vehicle. One of them's got a gun. They lose their fucking mind because they're out of chicken sandwiches at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
It was more of an aggravated assault because he was displaying a weapon and threatened employees, said Lieutenant. Oh, man. Larry Krausen to Houston Police. Oh. It seemed laughable, but some people who live in the area, along with Popeye's customers, said they don't find anything funny about the incident. He could have shot someone behind a chicken sandwich, said Frederick Taylor.
Oh, no.
Somebody could have lost their life because they ran out of sandwiches. Chicken fucking sandwiches. No injuries were reported. Police said a man with a gun is being described as having small dreadlocks, tattoos on his face, a small penis, and was seen wearing a black shirt with red sleeves.
I don't think it says that.
The group left in a blue SUV. You're right. It didn't say anything about his tattoos. Police are hoping security cameras capture the incident. Anyone with information is asked to contact Houston police. So if you have information on the small penis man with the gun who left the baby inside and lost fucking mind because he didn't have chicken sandwiches at 9 p.m. at Popeye's, then you should contact the Houston police as soon as possible so they can apprehend this small penis man.
Man. They got to be good if people are going to go that crazy.
Tiny little baby penis is what he has.
I'm going to go to Popeye's, and even if they don't have the sandwich, I'm still going to get some chicken.
Even if they have the sandwich, I'm going to shoot someone.
Just because I want to be on the news, bitch.
I want to be on the news. God, no, if I ever am in a situation where I could possibly be on our crazy news, I'm just going to stick a fork in me.
Yeah.
You have not arrived if you make this. Let's just be honest.
That's right. If you're not us and you're on this show, you've done something wrong.
Oh, man. You've made a terrible error somewhere in judgment.
Yeah.
But
well, speaking of error in judgment, this next one, I said this next party, but I don't remember. Oh, Nebraska. So I saw this one and I had to laugh because
this is pretty funny.
It is pretty good. So this one comes from the New York Post. And a maid of honor, and you've seen these. You see them in Halloween. People wear them. Yeah. A maid of honor wears the T-Rex costume after being told she could wear, quote, anything.
Oh, wow.
This bridal party turned into a Tyrannosaurus wreck. And that's pretty good.
Oh, puns.
It wasn't so long. I'd probably use it as a show title. The Nebraska maid of honor showed up to her sister's wedding dressed as a dinosaur. After the bridal party was given free rein over what they wanted to wear to the nuptials. When you're maid of honor and told you can wear anything you choose, I regret nothing, wrote Christina Medor alongside a Facebook photo of her wearing a T-Rex costume last month. This photo, which shows her towering over the bridal party in the costume, has since gone viral with more than 35,000 shares on social media. Fortunately, the bride appeared to take her sister's interesting choice of outfit in stride. My sister is awesome, and I genuinely was not kidding when I said she could wear whatever she wanted, Deanna Adams told the Daily Mail.
Wow.
So I like that picture, and I'm gonna save it. It's one thing that they will never forget. And well, I think, you know, anybody that's a little bit more uptight would probably be upset. Special day or not, but it's definitely something that people will not forget.
Well, what's funny, though, I don't think it's that out of place, because if you look at the picture as a whole, it's clearly in somebody's just backyard.
Yeah.
There's like a house. There's a kiddie pool in the back. And if you look, they have these like I don't know what you call them, these sheer things, you know, whatever you call them, chiffons.
It's on a swing.
You know,
it's like on a swing set.
It's on a fucking swing set. So, I mean, I'm just saying, this isn't exactly, you know, a pretentious high-class wedding. So, a T-Rex costume, to me, there's worse places you could wear a T-Rex costume.
That's right.
To church.
To bed.
For example. To bed. That'd be uncomfortable, though. You need a really big bed.
And I think you have to inflate them, too, so that'd probably be pretty rough. But that's fun.
Let's keep it plugged in, so every couple hours you can make sure you don't suffocate to death in your sleep.
That's true. That would be bad.
Sorry, I had to take a drink.
Yeah, take a big swig of mine, too.
Very milky. We're going to Florida.
About time.
I know. Three stories in. This is the first place. This is our story. Our first story taking us to Florida. So this is Safety Harbor, Florida.
Oh.
Where a burglar breaks into home to make breakfast.
Ooh.
And then tells the resident to go back to sleep. According to the rest report.
I saw the word burger, not burglar, and I was like, man, I want a cheeseburger now to go with my chicken sandwich.
Go back to sleep. I'm making a burger. According to the rest report, you're not going to believe this, Robert, but alcohol may have been involved.
Oh, no.
Authorities say a burglar broke into a Florida home. Cooked himself an early morning meal and told the resident there to go back to sleep. So the guy wakes up, probably freaks out like, dude, what the fuck are you doing in my house? Get out of here. The guy's like, I'm making breakfast.
This is my trailer.
I'm making breakfast. Just go back to sleep. It's fine. Go back to sleep, buddy.
Where his kitchen is his bedroom?
It's got to be. Maybe it's a small place. Who knows? Maybe the guy was sleeping on the kitchen table. The home's occupant told investigators he woke to discover a man cooking and eating sometime after 4 a.m. Fox 13 in Tampa reported the burglar ran from the house when the resident called 911. Deputies from the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office tracked down the suspect in a wooded and swampy area behind the home.
Of course. Where he's being mauled by an alligator. Naked.
Well, he's probably smelling like bacon. Deputies said Gavin Krim, 19-year-old Marine, allegedly entered the home through an unlocked rear door, as we all do. An arrest report mentioned that the suspect may have been under the influence of alcohol. That's amazing. Yeah. Breaks into the house to make himself breakfast. Guy comes out, freaks out at him, and then he tells him to go back to bed. And by the and the only leaves when the guy literally just calls 911 on him. Welcome to Florida.
Now I want some sausages.
I do want some sausage.
You more of a bacon guy or a sausage?
That's oh man, it's well.
I know they're both good. But
they are. It depends on what's happening. If it's like a breakfast sandwich, I'll almost always choose sausage.
Yeah.
You put a sausage patty with some eggs. Some cheddar cheese.
Yep.
You know, I'm all right with
that. I like jelly on mine. If I go to the McDonald's and I get the McMuffin one with the sausage.
Oh, yeah.
I put jelly on it. So you get a little bit of that sweetness.
Oh, I've never tried that.
Strawberry jelly. Again, can't be grape.
Have you ever had a McGriddle?
No, but I know you. You favor the McGriddle.
I like the McGriddle because you get the sweetness in it because the it's made out of pancakes. The bun.
With syrup in the bun?
Yeah, I mean, you feel your arteries just closing up as you're eating them, but no, I mean, they're fine. Delicious.
Save us all the trouble. Yeah, I might have to try one.
Put some people out of their misery.
Yeah, that's true. Now, this one, and I'm looking at the address here and trying to see if it's the same subway in D.C. I used to frequent.
You can only hope.
Yeah, this one comes from our friends at dcist.com, dcist.com. Where a man breaks into a D.C. subway, a subway sandwich shop, in the middle of the night and makes himself a sandwich.
Thanks for specifying.
He probably worked well because if you live in D.C., we have a subway system. So if you say he breaks into the D.C. subway, you're taking a ride, but D.C. subway sandwich shop is two different things.
That's true.
So he probably worked at one.
You could eat subway on the subway, though.
No, you're not allowed to take food.
No.
Nope. And they got new cars, so they don't want you dirtying them up. Oh, they used to be brown and orange and yellow. It's gross. But now they're new, fresh.
Oh, beautiful.
So but anyhow, the things that people will do for a chicken sandwich, and we just talked about this, but I would much prefer a Popeye's chicken sandwich sight unseen to a Subway chicken sandwich because I don't like those little slabs. Have you ever seen people get the roast chicken and it's that slab that's got the like Sharpie marks on it?
Yeah.
Not the weather Sharpie marks, but the other Sharpie marks on the sandwich. I don't trust those because I don't think it's real. But a video shared by the Metropolitan Police Department, which is the DC police, earlier this week shows a man making and stealing a sandwich from a Subway restaurant downtown. The man broke into a restaurant in the 1700 block of G Street Northwest at 1:49 a.m. according to a police report from MPD. Surveillance video shows the man casually walking past the counter and picking up a bag of chips, hopefully salt and vinegar, definitely not Sun Chips, deciding he needed more than a mere late night snack. He leaped over the counter.
Sun Chips are delicious.
It's gross. And fell to the floor before dusting himself off and grabbing a loaf of bread. And why was the bread still out? Maybe if it was in a little oven, but I figured it'd probably be dry the next day.
Well, it wasn't the little oven because I watched the video.
You didn't watch? Yeah, that takes too long. While the complete sandwich making process was edited out of the surveillance video, police say the man made himself a chicken sandwich worth a whopping $8.49.
Dang.
And he didn't have to shoot anybody to get it. That's the good part. Minutes later, the man seemed to struggle as he tried to leave, kicking the front door. The police report says once he got it open, he was last seen walking out of the restaurant taking his chicken sandwich with him. The sandwich thief is wanted for burglary, and police are asking anyone with information, including us, on the crime to contact law enforcement. So, yeah. Wow, I've been to a Subway in D.C., and it used to be, well, it was many years ago, but it was almost like at a bank. In the old banks where they were worried about getting robbed, they had the glass, and they'd put your money in there, and they'd close the door. That's how the Subway was.
Really?
That's how you got your sandwich.
God damn.
That's how really jacked up that area was.
Their sandwiches. Shit.
Well, it was protected. Yeah, because
I can't say I've ever been to a Subway where there was bulletproof glass.
Yeah, it was that plexiglass, like an inch thick. And then you'd put everything in the thing, and they would not open it until you closed your side.
Holy
and
shit.
Then they could open their side. And that's how you got your tuna.
That's pretty amazing.
Wild stuff. Yeah. Many years ago, though.
Tuna, because that's gross.
Well, the tuna. What do you typically get?
I usually get the roasted chicken.
Is that the one I was bad mouthing that has the Sharpie marks?
Yeah, it's good.
The slab?
They're like little logs. Like flattened yeah. logs of chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get the Chipotle Southwest dressing on there. Yeah,
I do well, like
what
that.
What you got to do is you get that, and you got to get it toasted. So, you know, it mm-hmm. it gets rid of most of the E. coli, hopefully. And
right.
And you put it's all the inside. All the veggies, the ingredients you want in there. If you right. add bacon, that's a nice little add.
Hmm.
And then you get the Chipotle Southwest on that shit, and it's and you got to get the cheddar. Cheddar and herb, whatever the hell it is, bread.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, urban. Yeah, I don't know what it's called. But yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's
nice. They got a new garlic bread, too. That's pretty good.
It's been a while because we have we have a lot of other choices of places to get a sandwich. And so
I only go for the cookies.
Yeah, Subway is not exactly at the top. But
no, I go for the macadamia cookies.
Those are pretty good.
They are damn good.
Man. All right.
Don't disparage them. Where's our next one take us?
Our next one takes us to probably somewhere in the UK. Let's see here.
Yeah, Wales Online.
Oh, thank you. Wales Online. So probably to Wales would be my assumption. Where a family's EasyJet holiday flight is delayed. So a passenger flies the plane to Spain himself.
George is just glad we're done talking about chicken sandwiches. It was making him nervous.
It was. It was making him really uneasy. His palms are sweaty. Passengers waiting to go on a holiday were facing a two-hour delay until a fellow passenger stepped forward and offered to fly the plane himself. The start of a holiday can sometimes be a pretty stressful experience as it is. All that packing, airport queues, making sure your luggage is the right weight, and trying to get young children through departures can all make you wonder if it's all worth it. And that's before the disaster scenario that hits when you're sitting on the plane and there's no pilot to fly you abroad. That's exactly what happened to Michael Bradley and his family and fellow passengers as they waited to fly off to Alicante on EasyJet. But what happened next astonished everyone on board. Michael ended up flying the plane to Spain himself. If you're a nervous flyer, we asked the pilot all the questions you never want to ask, and there's a link in case you want to visit that link. Having been told by his wife that they were facing a delay before setting off, the qualified EasyJet pilot took his license and ID along to the airport. In a video shared by another passenger with the man, I don't know, Michael Potts, he told passengers, "My wife, who's in row 15 with my little boy, hopefully he's asleep by now. I should keep it down or else I'll get told off. She'll roll over and punch me in the back of the head and say, and said, our flight's delayed by 2 hours because they are minus one captain for the flight. So just before we went through the security, I thought, I wonder if this is worth a phone call. I think it is because I'd like to go on holiday." Oh, he's still talking. It's really, really terribly written. Because there's like a quotation mark, but then there's no end quotes, but then they start another. Yeah. They don't put any end quotes on any of this. Oh, shit. I phoned up EasyJet and said, "Hiya, I'm standing in the terminal doing nothing. I have got my license with me deliberately from being punched in the back of the head at 3 a.m. I've got my ID with me, and I very much like to go on holiday, and if you need a favor, I'm standing here ready to go." They said, "We'll phone you back." 38 seconds later, they phoned me back and said, "Please, please, 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 with a big cherry on top, can you fly the aeroplane to Alicante?" Holy shit. Taking to the tannoy on board and tannoy. Commenting on his, this has just gotten completely unreadable. Commenting on his casual dress, but stressing he'd stuck a pair of shoes on just in case, he told passengers, "So if you're all right for one of your pilots to look like this today, we'll go to Alicante." Oh, you put an end quote there at that time. Great job, Wales Online.
He's done. They didn't have to write the article. They just basically typed out what the guy said and then put a byline on
it. He was met with cheers from passengers. And there's some pictures of him and his wife and their little boy who got cut out of the picture. And And
I'm saying, no wonder he wanted to go on vacation.
Talking to people, giving people the good news that he was going to fly, him casually dressed, was going to fly them to Wales and or to Spain, I should say. Michelle, who was going for a short break with her friend Jess Clayton, posted the video and said, it could only happen to me. Get to the airport and our flight is delayed a couple of hours. Then I happened to look at the original time and it changed a gate to gate closing. I had to leg it across the airport to get on the flight, get to boarding and ask the guy at the desk what's going on. He said, oh, your pilot's gone missing. But a guy that's going on your flight is going to fly the plane really no. casually. Luckily, the guy was a pilot. Probably would have been canceled if it wasn't for him. Legend. Speaking to the men, she said, I was a bit nervous when I was first told. But once he told us on the plane that I was just relieved that we weren't going to be delayed. And a spokesman for EasyJet said the flight's delay was due to the NAFCON effects. No, we're not done yet.
Oh, they're finally going to put their part of the story versus just quotes.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna finish this up. The flight's delay was due to the knock-on effects of the French ATC failure on Sunday, which impacted on crew and meant they had to rely on standbys. He said, we are grateful to one of our pilots who was traveling on holiday from Manchester to Alicante on the 2nd of September with his family
Alejandro.
And volunteered to operate the flight. This meant customers would get to their destination. It shows the commitment
and
dedication of our crew and Bardo Kavanaugh. This is fully in line with the regulations. As he had his license and ID with him, safety is always our highest priority. The spokesman said the incident was exceptional and stressed that Michael was well rested, having previously had 4 days off, and was legally permitted to fly the aircraft. And that is the end of the story. Hey, for the love of I don't even know what happened. I just read that whole thing. I don't know. Some asshole decided to fly the plane. And 10 pages of text later, he flew the fucking plane. Great.
It took longer for us to read through that article than it took them to get where they were going.
Yeah, the flight from their layover was Wales to Alicante was quicker than that article.
Oh, well, that's all right. That's great. I mean, I think at that point, if it's some random guy, even if he really was a pilot, it's time to get off the plane.
Probably.
Would you? Yeah, exactly. There's no way that you let somebody else that's just sitting there and he's a passenger. You have no idea. And then some guy on the phone goes, yeah, sure. Go ahead. Fuck no.
Yeah, no, you can fly. You have a license.
Yeah, still some sort we've of
liability there, right? Like,
yeah,
they haven't done a background check on that guy.
Yeah. And here, if you did that in the United States, they got those big doors. They would have shot your ass. You try to go up into the cockpit.
I have a feeling that EasyJet is like the Spirit Airlines of Wales.
Yeah, sure. Anybody.
Yeah, no. You got a pulse. You can fly. Sure.
Yeah. Let your kid sit in the lap and take the steering wheel for a little bit. That's fine.
We'd hate, for him to get punched in the back of the head again. So. It's the only thing I got out of that story is he's a pilot. He flew the plane. He got punched in the back of the head.
They all clapped.
Yeah, everybody clapped. There were cheers. It was all very exciting.
Well, and everybody ever said Europeans weren't strange. So we're going to come back to the United States. And I would love to be in this situation where I had won the lottery. And then I could just feel like I could do whatever I wanted.
I agree.
And I wouldn't do this. Because I enjoy the people that I work with. But this guy, Paul W.
At the moment, you do.
I always do. According to our friends at World News Daily Report, he won the lottery, and then he buys his former workplace and forced his former boss to wear a mascot costume.
Oh, nice.
Yep. A lottery winner from Minnesota found a very unusual use for his freshly won fortune. He purchased the restaurant where he had worked for 17 years, only to force his former boss to wear a ridiculous chicken costume. 49-year-old Paul Watson from Rochester won an astonishing $149 million in March from the multi-millions Minnesota State Lottery.
That's a good amount of money.
It's a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
When asked by organizers what he would do with the money, he simply answered, "Get rid of my stinking job, maybe get back at my stupid ass boss." He needs to drink heavily after work. Mr. Watson told
four smiles.
Yeah, he held true to his word. Ding ding. Purchasing the restaurant where he had used to work and giving raises to every employee except one, restaurant manager Oscar Reyes.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
And he was racist too. He had something special planned for his former boss. Paul Watson told Mr. Reyes, the restaurant's public relations director, a job consisting of distributing fried chicken samples on the street dressed in a chicken costume. This jerk yelled orders at us and treated us like slaves. Probably sold him to a circus. If it was legal for him to whip me,
nice.
He would.
Throwback to
while the new week. Owners. While the new owner seemed to find this promotion amusing, Oscar said his new job is extremely demeaning and exposes him to constant harassment. He's filing a $185,000 lawsuit against Mr. Watson and Chick-A-Rama.
Chick-A-Rama.
Yeah. For 19 years, I was the manager of this restaurant. I was the boss here.
Sandwiches, though.
No, probably. It's probably all they have. Now that jerk promoted me, but I have to dress up as a stupid rooster. That's not a promotion. Mr. Watson told reporters he doesn't care about the lawsuit, claiming that, and I like the photo, getting even with a man is priceless. He also said that he's planning on getting back at his two ex-wives and might have to make some more investments in order to stake revenge on them. The Rochester Police Department confirmed that it had dispatched officers to have a discussion with Mr. Watson concerning his threats, and that they would be watching him closely.
Hey, you better watch
this. I like the picture of him sitting there in his chicken costume. I've saved that for the show. Yeah, I wouldn't shave it.
That's good.
It wouldn't be a chicken costume anymore if I shaved it.
Having a really good time there. Yeah. How did they find a picture of that guy, of an old man wearing a fucking chicken costume with the hat off?
The miracle of stock photography.
Man, Getty Images really just has everything.
What would nobody in their right mind search for? And let's make it.
Oh boy.
Oh man.
Good stuff.
Well, is that 110?
You've done it again.
Jesus.
Done it again. Wow.
Done it again. We're hoping to have a special guest coming up soon.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully that'll work out. But anyhow, I guess that's it. We'll hope to see you next week.
I think we need an elderly listener on again sometime too.
Yeah, we'll line her up.
Yeah.
See what she's been up to. It's been a long time. I'll find the last time she was on, so we'll have that as a bit of ammunition for her.
Yeah, yeah. She probably will refuse now because we gave her so much shit last time. But, you know.
Well, and last week, when and I'm a pretty hip young mom, okay? Well,
that makes it most episodes. Like, her
right
her
before drops the, right before
are,
the,
are quite legendary on the two bobs now at this point.
Yeah, but right before the elderly gangbang, I threw her in there.
Yeah, that's right. It was the timing on that one. It was definitely the timing.
And I'm a pretty hip young mom, exactly. Okay?
Oh, boy. But
I was waiting for you to say, oh, you left that in there, but you didn't have me pull it out. So I said, all right, it's clean.
It's all right. I'm not as worried about pissing her off as I am my wife, so.
That's right.
So, I mean, you know, that's all right. What's the worst that could happen?
Smart man.
I don't know if she listens. My father. My father, he listens to our episodes like multiple times.
So yeah.
He'll hear it. I don't know if my mother, I don't know if she still listens or not. Doesn't matter.
Well, she better, damn it.
Yeah, she should. She's one of the few people that have actually made it on. She's been our only guest host that we've had in 110 episodes.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Unless we can line up. We got another listener that we're trying to line up, so we'll see if that works out. But you never know people's schedules, so hopefully it'll be soon.
Yeah. You know, I feel like they should adjust their schedules for us, though.
They should. Well, I told him how much we charge, and he was still okay with it. Oh, so we'll see.
Perfect. All right. Well, that's been another episode of the Two Bobs. As always, you can find us on all the social things at Two Bobs Podcast. We have a phone number too.
I noticed Jesus that Christ. You had a phone number.
Sure do.
That's from early on too.
What's the phone number, Robert?
Well, if you'd like to leave us a message or send us a text, it's 530-882-BOBS, which is 530-882-2627. It's been kind of silent lately, so we'd like to hear from you. People are out there listening. They're just not interacting.
Yeah. What the hell? If you listen, dial us up, send us a text message.
Use a fake voice if you have to.
You know, you already got your phone in your free hand. Let's go ahead and type with it.
I see you next week.
See you next week. This preceding show is brought to you with joy by the Two Bobs. Oh, words of their own. Not of anybody else in the world, because nobody else would fucking own up to this shit. And you can subscribe to our podcast or just go to the fucking twobobs.com, stop being a little bitch, and just own up and do it.